It's Guide Dog Blocks time, yes. Weekly conversation about our beloved four-legged companions that guide us everywhere and put up with various things that they have to watch us do sometimes. Joining me once again is Lucy Franks. Hello, Lucy.
Hi again.
Let's talk public transport. So we've heard a few tips from people on public transport, whether it's bringing a foldable water bowl and travel set to make sure your canine doggy has always something to drink, or maybe, some people mentioned booking two seats for your dog, one for you, one for your dog, to make the journey a bit more comfortable. And have you taken Mabel on public transport?
Yeah, so I'm in a lucky position in a way that I never learnt to drive. I used to ride a motorbike, but I never learnt to drive. So I've all, and my mum didn't drive. So I've used public transport my whole life. And I do think that that helps me to be confident on it. It's not something I've suddenly had to do because I'm no longer able to drive. So yeah, Mabel and I are very regularly on public transport. It's most often buses, but more and more I am getting used to trains and using trains. And actually, I do find that Mabel much prefers the train, generally speaking, not always, but generally speaking, it's a far more comfortable journey for her. And I think she sees it as a sign we're doing something a bit more exciting than normal. So she's like, yay, we're getting the train. Where are we going? I hope it's London. The one thing I don't use is the London Underground. I find it quite difficult as someone with low vision anyway, but Mabel isn't escalator trained, so if I can avoid going on the underground with her, then I do.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the only reason I use my guide dog on the underground because he is very much escalator trained, which I requested originally with my application since I work in London. Now, when it comes to bus journeys, I rarely take Caesar on the bus, mainly because the one thing that having Caesar has enabled me to do in my local area is actually be able to walk to town safely. Are there any particular tips to make bus travel comfortable for your dog since there's not always many much room on the buses?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that the more you do it, you work out the things that make it easier and what problems there are and how you can resolve them. I'm very much like you. I walk a lot more than I used to now, and I have Mabel. But generally, what I do is I'll walk into town. But when I've got some shopping and that, I'll then get the bus. When I'm getting the bus locally, I'm very aware of what time I'm getting the bus. So I have a bus pass. So the majority of the time, I'm not getting the bus until 9:30. In my area, it's good to avoid the buses at around 9:30 unless you're really prompt, because that's the time everyone's bus pass cuts in. So that's when you get really busy buses and you get buses that aren't perhaps as timely as they ought to be and stuff like that. The other thing I do is avoid school closing time, because again, that's a very busy time, not just necessarily because of the school kids, but because of parents with buggies picking up children from school. So one of the things I do is try and be very aware of when is a good time to go and when isn't. If I'm getting a bus that I'm not as familiar with, I'm very much a person who prepares in advance. So I will do my best to look up what times they are, how frequent they are, just get as much information in advance as I can. Where I live, we don't have many buses that have audio, so you do need to be aware of where your stop is, ask the driver to try and remember to tell you when you get to your stop. Use your phone if you're able to keep track of roughly where you are, although that can be a bit behind sometimes, so you've got to be a bit careful that you don't end up getting off too late or too early.
And when it comes to train travel, we've heard a few tips from people, as I mentioned earlier, to make the train journey comfortable for Mabel and stress-free for you and Mabel as well. So, what tips have you got to make your train journeys, one, stress-free, and two, as comfortable as possible for you and Mabel?
Well, I don't always book assistance. It depends on the journey. When I went to see a Green Day concert with my children recently and realised that coming back was a journey I wasn't familiar with. It was going a different route. And so I sort of asked on the spot for assistance. And I know it's not always great, but actually I got very good assistance with that. So that is obviously an option to consider, but you have got to bear in mind sometimes it's when it works, it's fantastic, but sometimes it doesn't, and then you kind of need a plan B. I always try and get in the accessibility carriage if I can. My main problem is finding the accessibility carriage because I've only got a small tunnel of vision. It's really hard for me to pick it out. and get to it quick enough. If there is someone on the platform, I do ask them to help me with just that. Generally, she has room to spread out. I've been on it when there's been sort of, there was, let me see, there was three wheelchairs, someone with a cello, and Mabel and I, and we still all got in the carriage comfortably. Thankfully, there was a guy in a wheelchair who sort of said, "Oh, I think you'd be all right better over there," and then that person could get there because I wasn't sure where the best place was for us. But he thankfully helped everyone get in sort of the positions that was best, so that we were all able to sit comfortably. That's not always possible. There might already be, several wheelchairs in the carriage or whatever. So then it's just a case of trying to find somewhere with a table. Don't be scared to ask for help. Just because you're independent doesn't mean not asking for help when you need it.
Being someone who travels in rush hour with my guide dog, I don't always get the most comfortable seat. So it kind of dependent on where you're sitting. You can then try and figure out how best it would be for your guide dog to be as comfortable as possible. So a lot of the times, if possible, my dog actually, what Caesar will do is go under the seat I'm sitting on, and then his head will often kind of poke out, kind of going, I still want to see what I'm doing. Some seats aren't always designed for it, so then you have to kind of put them near your feet, and that's where having two seats sometimes I find becomes quite a nice feature. And some people will actually offer to move to give you them two seats, which is quite handy. That is a few more travel tips for you on the buses and trains. If you've got tips of your own, of course, do get in touch. But yes, thank you, Lucy, for joining us once again on Guide Dog Blogs here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me.
This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.